You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're going to talk about negative self-talk. We're going to talk about the things that stand in our way of who we truly are. And when we're able to realize who we truly are, minus all the talk and all the constant chatter in our mind, we're able to understand who we truly are. You know, I deal with this on a daily basis when I talk and visit with my clients. One of my specialties is understanding negative self-talk, pointing it out, helping people recognize it, helping people deal with it, helping people see it, helping people be able to understand how to get rid of it, helping them wipe it out, and seeing their life change forever. You know, we don't realize that our worst enemy is within us. We're our toughest critic. We are the hardest on ourselves. You know, other people can say what they may, but it doesn't seem to really hurt us as bad as what is going on in our mind. You know, I visit with some clients that have some very extreme negative self-talk. And that negative self-talk is a constant chatter, a constant commentary that explains and is determined to tell them what they can't do, what they're never going to be good at, and what they should have never tried to begin with. You know, what's interesting when we're young is when we develop this negative self-talk. I think a lot of it starts when we're kids and things happen to us. You know, sometimes it's the way we were raised, and sometimes it's dealing with our family. Sometimes it's dealing with some negative commentary. Other times it's things that we perceive, being bullied on the playground, dealing with kind of maybe being pushed aside, not being paid attention to, feeling like an outsider, an outcast, feeling like we can't do anything right, perhaps being told that we seem to not be able to do anything right. And that's interesting. We've all been there at some point, whether it's a relative, a teacher, whoever. And we go through this process and we deal with it. And we come out the other side as we feel unscathed. But what is left? There's got to be fingerprints of the things that took place and what happened as a child. They don't just go away. And I'm not here to talk to you about mamby-pamby land as far as that everything is based on your parents. And if your parents are bad, you're doomed. I'm not there. But what I am talking about is that there are things that happen, but we can change it. It doesn't have to guide you forever. It doesn't have to hold you back. You can get past it. You can move on. And it's awesome when we do move on, but it takes time, it takes work, and it takes consistency. And tonight, I want to let you in the world that I work with, in the world of therapy, psychology, life coaching, and success coaching. In order to be successful in life, you have to figure out what is in your way. If you have a lot of, you know, landmines, a lot of things set up that are only going to trip you, your success may or may not happen. I recently had a client that came into my office the other day, and we started talking about the concept of negative self-talk, and she had never heard of it. And most people haven't ever heard of negative self-talk. It's not something that you get taught in school. It's not something that you hear at the office. It's not something that you hear, you know, at happy hour. It's something that people don't talk about. And I think that people don't talk about it because they're sad about what they hear, but not only sad, they're just kind of stressed out because they don't understand how to deal with the negative self-talk that's in their head. They don't understand where it's coming from and what to do about it. And a lot of times people go on and determine that this is depression, anxiety, mania. We define all this negative self-talk and we define it and we want to categorize it and then we want to medicate it. And I want to talk about this tonight, and that's why it's very important to use, because we've all had down times. We've all had times where we feel like we're not that good and that life is passing us by. But is it down times or is it our negative self-talk that's getting in the way? I think that 90% of the time, if we were really honest about our true situation, we'd have to say that negative self-talk occupies our mind. And I'd go a step further to say, as a lot of times people don't understand that it's negative self-talk. They think it's depression and they want to medicate it. So they take a medication to kind of try to minimize the effects, to try to silence the voice. But it comes right back. And so that's the whole concept of taking the medication. And I do believe that some medication is needed for some people in certain situations. But for a lifetime, I question it. I question that because I think that we can do more to better ourselves than we are led to believe. And I think tonight, I think you're going to gain a lot of knowledge based on negative self-talk and how to deal with that self-talk for yourself. So let's begin by talking about what it truly is. Negative self-talk is the talk that we talk about in our own mind. A lot of us have our minds that go 100 miles an hour. We go 100 miles an hour and some of us talk about what? I can't sleep at night. I have insomnia. Well, why do we have insomnia? So if you're not working out and you're not eating correctly, this could be an indication that insomnia will come to you. However, if you are working out, walking, running, exercising your body, not just your brain, and you still have insomnia, this could be based on negative self-talk and anxiety. But negative self-talk is when we tell ourselves that we're no good. And a lot of times we go into a deep description of how not good we are. For some people, it's more of a broken record of the same type of shady talk. But it's interesting because this talk promotes us and prompts us to do things that negate ourselves. Our self-value is what's on the line here. Valuing our own self, valuing what we add to society, valuing who we are as a person. And when we value ourselves as a person, we're able to see the light. And what I mean by that is, when we value ourselves and we realize the value inherent that we have, we treat ourselves differently. We treat ourselves with respect and admiration. However, when we have a tendency of devaluing ourselves, not seeing the value within ourselves, and having a tendency of overlooking ourselves and seeing as everybody else has it better than us, we're lucky to be here because everybody else is smarter and faster and stronger and better. But a lot of times we don't realize that that's actually coming from our own mind. It's coming from our own mind. It's been in our own mind for a long time. We hear it a lot. But depending on our age and depending on how fast our mind works, we either hear it or we don't. And that's important because there are several ways that negative talk can influence your life on a second-to-second basis. And a lot of us are unaware that it even exists. It's funny because it's almost like the elephant in the room. There's an elephant in the room. It's pink, it's polka dot, but nobody's talking about it. And negative self-talk is that elephant in the room. It's the thing that sabotages you and your successes. It's the thing that gets in the way of you attaining the goals that you want. It's the things that get in the way of you acknowledging the fact that you can do something and make something happen. It's the things that get in the way that take away your power and make you feel helpless. You know, it's an interesting scenario because I deal with this on a daily basis. Again, I'm a therapist and I'm also a life coach. And the cool thing about being a therapist is I understand a lot of cognitive behavior and I understand different ways of being able to explain to a client how and why they're dealing with certain things, as well as being able to understand where they're coming from and for them to be able to understand what it means. But as a life coach, I'm able to take those practices and those principles and allow somebody to find success and to let go of self-defeating prophecies. Because that is what negative self-talk is self-defeating prophecies. We tell ourselves over and over again, day after day, minute after minute, hour after hour, how bad we are. And we expect to be able to do miracles. But how can we if we're fighting an internal fight? When we fight an internal fight, we fight this internal fight that happens within us, that takes place within us. It's like fighting two people. And when was the last time that somebody actually won a fight against two other people? Especially being that that other person is you. You know yourself better than anybody else. You know your weaknesses better than anyone else. And you can knock yourself out at any time. And that's what negative self-talk is. When we return, we're going to be talking about how the brain can work so fast that you might not hear it, and how to begin to slow the brain down, slow the mind from racing, and be able to acknowledge the fact that negative self-talk has taken camp in your mind. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about negative self-talk. What negative self-talk is, how to identify it, how to recognize it, and how to realize when it's taking you out of the game of life. Negative self-talk is an interesting thing because I would have to say close to 95% of the U.S. population deal with it, at least to a certain degree, on a daily basis. Some of us are plagued with it every single second of the day. Some people have so much negative self-talk that they can't leave the house. They're too scared. What will people think? What will they say behind my back? Will they make fun of me? I'm not worthy of being here. I'm not a good person. This is awful. Oh, they're going to make so much fun of me because you know what? I'm an idiot and I shouldn't be here. And I'm just shouldn't be here because I'm not qualified. And I'm telling you, and I'm giving you the censored version, because a lot of us talk to us, to ourselves, a way that we would never accept anybody else talking to us. It's amazing the kind of self-talk that we can talk to ourselves and think it's okay. I mean, for most people, they would have already called a lawyer or called the police and had some sort of restraining order, and it would be about verbal abuse. Instead, we verbally abuse ourselves on a daily basis. Some of us have gotten a really good pattern on it. Some of us are really good at just, I don't know, just beating ourselves down. And some of us have been working to change that. So let's talk about negative self-talk in the focal point of how this actually happens and how the mind is racing. So, for example, if you're one of those people that your mind races a lot and you have a tendency of getting insomnia. And first thing, a side note and a key for everybody out there that is suffering from insomnia, something that you can do right now to better your life. And I don't care what your weight is or what your height is or anything like that, but it is to start working out. Whether it is just walking around the neighborhood. If you can walk a mile, you will work off that insomnia. Insomnia is based on the fact that you're working a lot mentally, but not physically. That's not always the case, but it's about 65% of the case deals with direct exercise. The equivalent of how much exercise you get in a day matters. When I don't exercise after a period of 3 or 4 days, I have a tough time of going to sleep. And I understand. And sometimes that's based on stress, but the more I exercise, the more stress washes away. Because stress is cortisol, and it kind of is combated when you exercise because you have certain other types of chemicals that enter your brain. And the thing is that they're feel-good chemicals. They're feel-good responses. And when you combat that with the stress, when you kind of fight it, when you use that to fight the stress, you kind of equal out things. So let's get back to the mind. The mind is a very intricate thing, and they don't know exactly everything about the mind. But I know one thing. You know more about your own mind than any doctor or surgeon could ever tell you. You know what you think, and you have the power to slow it down, speed it up, quiet it, create a blank slate, inspire it, or take it down. You have all that power within you to change your mind. you can change your mind. So let's talk about negative self-talk. Okay, so what happens a lot of times is that we have a tendency of having our mind race. And you know when people say, well, I couldn't sleep last night because my mind was racing. Well, what was it racing through? What was it talking about? What was it saying? What was it thinking? What was going on in the headset? And in order to find out what was going on in the headset, what do we have to do? We have to slow the thoughts down. We have to slow the thoughts down so we can actually hear them. And so when the mind is racing, one of the best techniques that I've used is you breathe in and out very deeply. I usually use really very deep breaths where I breathe in real slowly and very deeply, 6 to 7 seconds, and breathe out about the exact same amount of seconds. And I do that for about a minute, minute and a half. And the reason why I do that is that helps to take the stress away. It helps to slow down the mind. And it puts you almost on the verge of meditation to a point where you're able to see things more clearly. So when it comes to slowing down the mind, we're able to put things in perspective. So as we slow down the mind, and the mind is not racing as much as it was, we can now actually listen to what our mind is saying. Because it's kind of like if you're not listening and paying attention to what your mind's saying, it's like someone else whispering in your ear all day long. You're never paying attention. However, you might not be paying attention, but everything they're saying is going into your subconscious. Everything they're saying is directly affecting you no matter what you think. It's the same idea as if you were laying down on a couch sleeping and the TV was on and the audio was on. And you were sleeping, and that audio for the TV show and all its commercials entered into your subconscious mind. Now, you might not necessarily remember them, but they're there. You could actually wake up the next day starting to sing a jingle that you might not remember. Think about it. And the interesting part of that is that that stuff is all now connected and stuck in your subconscious. And it could be referred to at any time. Now, let's take something that's negative, for example, a negative self-talk, something that's putting you down. If you're not paying attention, you're not listening, you may be ruled by something you don't even know is ruling you. You could be ruled by something you have no idea has power over you. And so in order to slow down the mind, we need to do some breathing exercises. For some of y'all that have some difficulty with that, but you can still work out, get on the elliptical, run a couple of miles, 2 or 3 miles, slow your mind down. Exercise helps greatly. There's active meditation as well as non-active meditation. Active meditation, I've actually been doing active meditation when I was younger because it would calm my mind. And you might run around in a circle for 2 hours. It's a lot of work and it's tiring, but yet it does quiet the mind. I found that breathing's easier, but working out is just as good. But you have to really get a good workout. Walking, yes, you can, but you can focus on the walking and focus on getting out there and focusing on the next moves, and that could be good too. So we're slowing down the mind, and we're now able to hear what is being said in splices. And so again, I'm going to censor what some clients have told me. But for the women out there that I've had as clients that I've dealt with negative self-talk, a lot of times they find themselves unable to be loved. They don't feel like they're worthy of being loved because they don't feel like they're good enough. They don't feel like they're successful enough. They don't feel like they're clean enough. They feel like there's issues that are standing in front of them that make it where nobody could honestly love them. On the same token, they can also feel like they're never going to find success. They're never going to find love because it's not meant to be, because they're not lovable. There's a lot of issues that need to be addressed when we're talking about negative self-talk, because it can be anything from success to not being lovable to not being loved, to being unhappy, to being fat, to being ugly, to being loose. There's a lot of issues. And I've had some clients have some major, major breakthroughs in my office. And they're amazing to behold, but they've been hidden and held back for years. Sometimes 25, sometimes 30 years of negative self-talk. For some of us, it might have not have started in our childhood. For some of us, the negative self-talk could have started in our teens or 20s, in high school or in college. For some women, if you did something that you felt was morally wrong or you felt guilty about, you might start having that negative self-talk after that episode. And you start defining yourself based on how guilty you feel. And a lot of this goes back to the way we were treated as children and how much we felt like we were loved. And that also plays a part. So in a return, I'm going to be talking about what we do next once we're able to slow down the mind and hear our thoughts. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about negative self-talk, what it means, how to slow the mind down, how to hear it, and how to deal with it, because we can all change our mind. We all have the ability to change our mind. It's amazing. We all have the ability to make choices, to change our mind. We all have the ability to succeed. We all have the ability to choose. We're all given choice. And when we're given choice, we're giving the choice to have negative self-talk or to not. And you know, life is really difficult when you're beating yourself up. Life is hard when you are your worst enemy. What do we do when we're our worst enemy? What do we do? We beat ourselves up. We bring ourselves down. We talk ourselves out of doing things that we're good at. And overall, we're just generally unhappy. I recently had somebody come into my office, and every time we talked about the negative self-talk and I brought it up, they wanted to argue with me. At first, they would agree, and then they go, I don't know. I'm not sure. And I would say, what do you mean you don't know? Because you do know. Well, yes, but what? But that could never work. Why could that never work? Well, because, so you're basically fighting. And so the negative self-talk is the ego, in a way, fighting you. It's fighting you because it wants to have ground. It wants to be in charge. It wants you to sit in the back seat and watch the game of life play in front of your very eyes based on the narration of Sir Ego that you have denoted it as going to be your pilot. You are no longer the co-pilot. You are now in the back seat, and now the child locks have been used for you, and you will only go to the bathroom when you are told that you can and you need to raise your hand. Because this is no longer your life, because you are sitting in the back seat now because your narrator is in charge. And let me explain a little bit about the narration. The narration is the negative self-talk. The narrator is your ego. And there you are in this play of your life, sitting on the sidelines as you make choices based on whatever the narrator says. So let's talk about the narrator. Sometimes your narrator can be laissez-faire. Sometimes your narrator can be positive. Sometimes your narrator can be quiet. But most people's narrators are negative. They are negative Nancys. Why do you think people are so negative nowadays? Do you think that it's just because people are negative? No, it's because they're negative on themselves. They don't like themselves. They don't like what themselves do. They don't like what they're doing. They don't like what life is going on. They're not happy with themselves. And so therefore, they're not happy with you. Think about all the comments that people make on the internet about various stars and Hollywood people. And they can just be so mean. And I go, how can somebody be so mean? But I realized their negative self-talk is so bad that that's normal for them. They're just regurgitating what they think about themselves. You know, negative self-talk is an interesting thing because it puts us all in the gutter. When we have negative self-talk, We put ourselves down. We don't always see others as competition. We'll put them down if we have to. There's also scarcity. There's never enough. And on top of that, guess what? Life's difficult, and we're never going to win, and everything's going to go against me, and I'm never going to win this race, and I'm always going to be walking uphill both ways, because you know what? That's my negative self-talk talking right there. And when we slow down the negative self-talk, and we slow it down with either using exercise or meditation or breathing or active meditation, and exercise is a form of active meditation, we're able to slow it down and hear what the negative self-talk is saying, what the narrator is saying. And you can kind of use your mind and see that your mind is the narrator. Put a little mouth and some eyes on it in your own brain, not in reality. I mean, I guess you could, but in your own brain when you're thinking about it. And every time you hear that voice talking, see it as the narration. It's not you. It's separate. And so identify that to begin with. Separate. Have separation. In order to deal with this, you've got to have separation. In order to deal with this, you've got to realize that this is not you. This is the narration. So as we take on the narrator, which is what we're going to do here, we're going to take on that narrator, and we're going to play that narrator, and we're going to shut the narrator up. Because we've had enough of the narrator. Narrator has been abusing its power for years. We've allowed it. But it's time there's a new sheriff in town. So as we deal with the narrator tonight, you'll understand better what I'm talking about when I call it the narrator and realize that this is your ego. And you know, a lot of times people say the ego is supposed to be boasting and bragging, but the ego does a lot of things. And you know what the ego does best? Separate us from everybody else. If you feel bad and you feel insecure, what? You're separated. Keep them separated. Yeah, exactly. If you feel better than everybody, you're separated because you're looking down at everybody. If you feel everybody else is better than you, you're not going to hang out because you're scared to, because everybody's better than you. So you might as well stay home. So as we see the narrator tonight, we realize that in one corner is the narrator and in the other corner is me. So we're slowing down the audio portion, the narration portion, and we're hearing various comments being made. And a lot of these can be about self-worth and self-value and how we feel about ourselves and how pretty we are, how smart we are, how valuable we are, what we're worth. Do we have self-worth issues? A good example of self-worth issues is somebody that has an amazing product or service that doesn't know how to monetize it and can't figure it out. Because it's difficult because, one, you are concerned with how to monetize, but two, you wrapped your brain around it so many times, but three, part of it is because of you're questioning the value of the said product. Is it worthy? Is it good enough? And if that product is you, that's a problem. And I would bet that in that narration, there's something going on down the pike that says something about your value. And so it behooves you at this point in time to start listening to that voice. And I think that one of the best things that you can do is after you've slowed it down, get a pen, get a notebook, and begin to write down a journal that starts tonight. Date it and time it. And every time you hear the narrator go off, good, bad, or indifferent, write it down. Write down the narrator's words as much as you can, as clearly as possible. And continue to do that. And I suggest that the best thing to do is to do this for a period of 2 weeks. For some people, I suggest a month. It's not that big of a deal. You have the notebook, you have the pen. When you hear it, you write it down. And the reason why I say this is that you're going to see things that you would never believe is going on in your mind. You're going to see things written down that you can't believe and you're startled. You're also going to see things written down that will allow you to wake up and realize why it is that you've chosen certain things in your life and why you haven't. Why you've not followed through and why you've escaped on certain things. Based on the sentences and the joined words that you're going to hear from the narrator. So as you write these down and take full knowledge of what's going on, you're going to open your mind to a different frontier. You're going to open your mind to a frontier of power and honesty. And we haven't even cleared the negative self-talk yet. We're just recognizing that it exists. Not only that it exists, but what is being truly said. Because in order for you to be successful, you have to have knowledge. Knowledge is part counterpart. It is the whole part of being powerful, is to have the knowledge that you need. And to have your personal knowledge, knowing what you have, what's holding you back, what you have in your corner, what you don't have in your corner, and what's in your way, is one of the most valuable pieces of information you could ever have. When I went through this process about 5.5 years ago, I came up with this process on my own. I didn't know that it existed. I didn't know how to deal with it. I just knew that I had negative self-talk and I needed to figure out what to do about it, because it wasn't bettering my life. It was really, really hurting my life. And I didn't know what to do because I heard it a lot. And I think depending on the age you are, you'll either hear it or you don't, because some of us have lived with the negative self-talk sometime for so long that it's white noise. I'd call it black noise, but it's noise. And we act from it instead of understanding what's being said. And that's why I've advised you to slow it down with meditation, with exercise, and then write down what you hear. When I was younger, when I was born with a condition that nobody understood. I was born with a health condition that I dealt with day after day, week after week, year after year. And as a kid's perspective on that, it's difficult. And it can really mess with your mind. Because I never knew if I was going to live or die, and that's why I have a thing that I call deathbed wisdom. I'm actually writing a book titled Deathbed Wisdom right now. And it's based on the fact that I never knew if I was going to live or die the next day, and I never knew what was going to happen, and I had experimental surgeries done on me countless times, and I never knew what was going to happen. And because of that, I got to learn a lot of things about a lot of people, and I deeply met people on deep, emotional, heartfelt levels. Because I really didn't know. I didn't want to take anything for granted. However, in that process, going from doctor to doctor and all these surgeries, I began to accumulate some negative self-talk. When we return, I'm going to be talking about my own personal negative self-talk and how you can begin to erase yours. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about negative self-talk, how to deal with negative self-talk, how to hear and how to recognize it, and eventually I'm going to explain how to begin to erase it. But now I want to talk about my negative self-talk. Like I was saying earlier, as a child, I was born with a condition that people didn't understand. I had several experimental surgeries. I didn't know if I was going to live or die. And that's why I'm writing a book right now, my fourth book called Deathbed Wisdom. And the reason why I'm writing that is that that's the reason why I understand people extremely well. Because when you get close to death and when you're dealing with this stuff and you're doing it in a conscious, alert manner, with a lot of personal clarity, you're able to see things clearer than many people can. You're able to identify and see things in a way that most people never dream of. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. The negative self-talk. As a child going through things that most adults don't go through, I just started kind of telling myself things that I didn't realize I was telling myself. Like, I remember one time in particular when I was supposed to have a surgery done and all these doctors got together and the chief of staff of the hospital, and they were going to bring in vascular surgeons, plastic surgeons, all kinds of surgeons to pull off the surgery that had never been done. And I was really delighted because I knew that eventually I would be normal. And I remember about a week later, I'd gotten my hopes up and I get a call from the chief of staff's one of his nurses, and she said, Ashley, we need you to come by the hospital. We need to talk with you. And so my mom and I got in the car, and I remember like this was yesterday. We got in the car, and we went over there, and I was like, wow, this is going to be great. And we get in there, and we wait, and then we get brought back to one of the rooms, one of the medical examining rooms. And we sat there, and I remember waiting, going, okay, this is going to be great. And all of a sudden, one of the nurses walked in, and then two other people walked in, and they handed me my file. And they said, we're going to need to give you this right now because we're not going to be able to do the surgery. We're not going to be able to do the surgery because it has been deemed a bloodbath, and there's a 90% chance of your left leg being amputated. So we can no longer see you as a patient anymore, and we wish you the best of luck and have a good life. And I remember walking out of there after I'd asked questions and stopped and said, please, what's going on? I don't understand. And I was somewhat escorted out of the hospital. And I remember looking down, and my mom was in front of me because she was driving, and she was walking in front of me out in the parking lot. And I remember keeping my head down because I was crying, and I didn't want my mom to see me cry. Because I didn't want her to see me cry because I wanted to be the solid person, and I wanted to deal with it, and I could deal with it. But I really needed to probably cry. But in the same respect, I didn't want her to break down. And when I look back at that time, and we've talked about that since then, my mom and I, because I brought it up, because I can remember that day like it was yesterday. And we've talked about it since then. And at the time, I should have just stepped up and said, you know, it's okay for me to be emotional. It's okay. And we could have had a really great conversation, but it was difficult for me to deal with my emotions. And there was a lot of negative self-talk going on because I was like, gosh, I'm not even worthy enough to get this surgery. You know? The success and happiness of my life is never going to happen. You know, I'm going to always have a handicap sticker on my car and all this stuff going through your head. And life's hard enough when you're beating yourself up on a constant basis. And so about 5 years ago, actually longer than that, about 10 years ago, I started working on my negative self-talk. And I started analyzing and I started doing exactly like I told you to start writing it down. Keeping a log of it, you know, slowing down your mind, keeping the log of it. And then I started figuring out how to dissipate the negative thoughts. And one idea that came to mind was the idea of shooting skeet. Or better yet, using a water gun. You know, one of those Nerf water guns or what have you. And so as we do this, this is what I ended up doing, is that I was able to write down the negative thoughts. And what I decided to do then is that it's easier to eliminate the thoughts when I'm able to see them. And so what I was able to do is then visualize the words. Like I could see it. It was almost like a typewriter in my mind. And at that point, I decided, how do you eliminate them? For some of you, you can use an eraser. That works out really well. Like, remember the black erasers that they had at school with the chalkboards? If you want to, you can visualize the negative self-talk written in chalk, and you come up there and erase it with your big black eraser. You can also use a water gun and shoot it out. You can also let it poof out of thin air. And whatever technique you use to eliminate your self-talk to see it, so you got to slow it down, right? Slow down the talk. Visualize the actual words. And then clear it. And let it go. And yes, this is going to take more than once. It's going to take several times. But once you figure it out, you'll get it down to a science. And eventually that negative self-talk will be gone. It'll be gone. It'll be gone. And I usually tell clients to go on and assume that it's going to take a solid month of them personally working, and I can help as well to clear the negative self-talk. Because think about it, if you're 35 years old and the talk has been going on for as long as you can remember, it's a long time. It's going to take a little while to clean up the mess. But once it's done, your life will change forever. And right now, I'm not telling you, hey, we're going to change all this and move it into the positive, and then I'm going to give you all this positive stuff to think about, and you're going to do this. Right now, all I want you to do is clean house. I don't want you to add. I just want you to subtract. Right now, we're just subtracting the negativity. We're subtracting our energy-sucking thoughts, and we're leaving it a blank slate. It's a lot easier to have a blank slate than to have one that's filled with negative self-talk. So think about this real quick. Once you're able to lasso those negative thoughts about you, once you're able to understand where it's coming from, and once you're able to know what's really being said, you can stop it. You write it down, you keep a journal, and then guess what? You let it go. Boom. Poof. Out. In a few weeks, I'll be doing a show about how to add positive thoughts within your mind. But right now, we realize that we want to keep a blank slate. We want to have a mind that is healthy. And in order to get healthy, we have to get rid of the negative, the putting down, the self-defeating talk. And by the way, I know I've been on the radio for several years now, about over 3 years, and I'm on various stations in various cities, but I'm taking new clients for therapy and for coaching. And the cool thing is that I've devised a new process of doing some really cool, new, edgy techniques. And a lot of it's now using Skype. I'm incorporating Skype now so that I can actually work with anybody in any country, in any city around the world. For more information on me as a coach and as a therapist, go to AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com, and check me out. Get to know me. If you want to know more about my techniques, you can check out my latest book, The 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life. The 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life. And that will express to you how I communicate. Because I do believe that in order to be an effective coach, you have to be able to communicate with your client effectively. And your client has to feel and know that the way that they communicate connects to you. I wish you a wonderful night. And from now on, realize that negative self-talk. Slow it down. See it. And erase it. And it'll allow for a better you. Coming up next on Hour 2 on Perspectives, we're talking about life mantras. Oh, I'm looking forward to this show. It's so amazing. Because once we've dealt with the negative self-talk, we can learn mantras that actually change our brainwaves to the point because we're so positive, we're so happy, and we actually get ingrained to the reality of how amazing our life really is. Because once you get rid of that negative self-talk, sky's the limit. And so in the next hour, I'm going to be talking about a life mantra that will work for you. It's worked for me. It's proven to work for me. It's worked for my clients, and it's going to work for you, and it's going to take your life to the next level. Always on Perspectives. Guess what? Always more answers and less questions. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back this time in three shakes.